Well, hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us today. Florida has long been a retirement destination for seniors across the country and across the globe. During this coronavirus pandemic, our elderly population has been the most vulnerable to the impacts of the virus. 80% of the deaths have come from people 65 years or older. There's also the mental toll that comes with isolation. Yesterday, Governor Ron DeSantis announced the ban on visitations to long-term care facilities will be lifted.
And many of the folks understand that they have loved ones who are in the last stage of their life. They're not demanding a medical miracle. They're not having unrealistic expectations. They just would like to be able to say goodbye or to hug somebody.
We are dedicating the full hour today to the issue of caring for our elderly. We are joined now by WLRN healthcare reporter Veronica Zaragovia. Veronica, always great to have you.
Thank you.
Also joining us is Joan Hippler, a registered nurse in Hollywood. Her mother is in an assisted living facility, the five-star premier residences of Hollywood. Joan, great to have you back.
Thank you.
And Renee Garvin, she is the executive director at the V at Aventura, a retirement community here in South Florida. Renee, thank you for your time.
Pleasure to be here.
And by the way, we are streaming live on Facebook. You can pose your questions or comments there. We'd love to hear from you. Are you now going to visit your family at the elder care facility where they're living? Do you plan on that visitation anytime soon? Email us, post your comments or questions here, or you can email us sundial@wlrnnews.org. Now, again, every facility is different. Even though that ban is lifted today, you've got to check with the facility because, well, they're all trying to prepare themselves. And Veronica, help us understand, break down what these new standards of visitation entail, what the facilities have to do to allow people in.
Sure. There's a list that includes, for example, all guests and staff have to have PPE. It's a little broad, but certainly masks have to be worn. And there cannot be an onset of COVID-19 in the last 14 days. So that would mean no new cases in that time period.
In the facility. And then
In
the facility. No new cases in the facility. Okay.
In the facility, and then a staff member, if a staff member tests positive, then they have to cease visitations for a certain time period. And they also actually, they have to have adequate capacity at referral hospitals from the facility. So there are, so for that reason, there are some of these measures are going to take a few days to for the facilities to make sure that they can have everything ready to go. So the visitations haven't, started today.
One of the things too is there will be a limitation on how many people can come in. And the other thing too that's challenging is it's not like you can just, everybody can jump in there and hug their grandfather or grandmother.
That's right. So every resident can choose up to five visitors who can come in, and there can only be two at once. And they can choose an essential caregiver. And this is a person who can feed or bathe or change their relative or loved one. And that person can give a hug, but nobody else can. The rest would have to be socially distant.
So again, you have to check with the facility that your loved one is in to see where they are in the process. And again, what these new rules are. Joan, you've gone 5 months now FaceTiming your mother, waiting to see her in person. So what's the deal now? What have you heard from that facility? When are you going to be able to visit?
Well, I haven't heard anything yet from the facility. I assume that they are working on the guidelines and trying to see how they can meet it. They have kept us informed about COVID cases within the facility, so I assume they will keep us informed as to when they'll start letting visitation. I hope it's sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time for you. But, you know, the interesting thing, too, is this. You're a nurse, so what do you think about these limitations? Is that enough, or do you feel like, look, we have to get back in and see our families?
I think it's enough. I think it's gone on longer than it should have. I understand the fact that we needed to protect the elderly. However, if everyone wears a mask and follows the guidelines of social distancing and hand washing, I think we could have a little bit of both. even if it has to be a visit outside, wearing a mask and not inside the facility, that would be very helpful.
I think something that hit me not too long ago was, it was just a story that I heard over the air of a woman who has been desperate to go in and see a loved one. And her comment basically was, what am I saving him for? I just want to spend as much time as I can with him. That's a tough balance right there. I don't know, Joan, what do you think about that feeling?
I agree. I happen to agree. My mother's 92. She's already on hospice. She's oxygen dependent. She's got dementia. She has deteriorated so much since March. I can't just have a phone call with her because she doesn't respond to me anymore. The FaceTime is the only way, and I'm totally dependent on the staff at the facility to wait for them to FaceTime, and they do every day. When her nurse's aide is on, they FaceTime. She FaceTimes with me, and I see my mom, and she blows me a kiss, and we talk. When she's not working, I go to the facility, and they let me see her through a big window that's ceiling to floor in the dining room, so I can see her whole body and see the weight she's lost and just see how she's been taken care of. And I know they take care of her very, very well, but for me, just I want to see that. And then I put my hand on the glass, and she needs prompting, and she puts her hand on the glass, and it's sort of like we're touching, and I get teary, she gets teary, and it's very heartbreaking to do that. It can't go on. She's at the end of her life. I don't know how much longer she has left. And I promised my dad when he died 2 years ago that I would be there for her and that I'd take care of her. So I need to see her.
I hope that they finally do let you in now that, again, it's statewide. You know, the visitations are being allowed. But again, every facility is trying to prepare itself for that. Renee, the V has approached this pandemic in that residents, they've been able to come and go, leave the facility. How have you been ensuring that there's no outbreaks? How do you protect the residents there?
Mm-hmm. So let me talk a little bit about that, Lewis, because here at the V, it's a little bit different from what Joan is describing with her mom, in that we have a full continuum of care. We're a life plan community. So what that means is we have independent living, assisted living, memory support, skilled nursing, and rehabilitation. So where our residents are able to come and go, that's independent living. So similar to what Joan is sharing, in memory support, assisted living, and skilled nursing, residents aren't able to leave unless it's for an essential physician appointment. So we really are doing the same things. We are, whether it's independent living or our care center, we work really hard to make sure that we're screening anyone coming into the community, that we have all the proper protective gear, which includes masks, face shields, gloves. So depending on the level of contact with our residents, we're making sure that we are being as safe as possible.
How many COVID cases have you had?
So we have had a few. We feel very good about the fact that while we wish we had zero, we haven't had any community spread, which means that each case that we've had has been isolated, and we've been able to prevent any additional infections. So again, if we have a case, it's isolated, and through our contact tracing efforts and through, again, our personal protective gear and things, we have kept it from not spreading it to anyone else, any other staff or any other residents within our community. So I'm very proud of that.
Renee, what do you feel about the governor's order, and how are you preparing for visitors?
Yeah, so we actually started outdoor visits with an independent living about a couple weeks ago. We have it scheduled, so all of our residents and families, they call ahead, they schedule a time. We have an area where we disinfect everything, and so they're able to sit and visit with their family, socially distanced with their masks, and it's gone very well. Everyone has been very supportive of it. So we're going to continue to recommend outdoor visits whenever possible, just because it is the safest. But we are also gearing up, as both Joan and Veronica have shared, to look at how can we support indoor visits as well, but making sure that we are meeting all those requirements and also being very educational in our approach to any visitors coming in so that they understand the importance of wearing that mask all the time. We're big on face shields here in our community as well. So while we're still working through our process that we're going to have, we'll probably have face shields as well for folks, because as we all know, it's mouth, nose, and eyes that can pick up and transmit something. So, we're going to be looking at how we make sure that everyone coming into the community is able to spend that time with their loved one, because I agree with Joan, it's so, so important, but making sure that they're doing it in a safe way so that we can keep everyone safe while they're visiting.
Mm. Again, we are discussing the state of elder care in Florida during this pandemic. Governor DeSantis again released new guidelines yesterday for long-term care facilities to reopen their doors to visitors. We're talking with Veronica Zaragovia, WLRN's healthcare reporter. Joan Hippler is a registered nurse. She has a mother in an assisted living facility, and Renee Garvin, the executive director at the V at Aventura. We are streaming live right now on Sundial's Facebook page, and if you'd like, you can leave a question or comment there. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you are about to go and visit your family members for the first time in months. You know, how do you feel about this change? And again, you know, what has it been like for you and your family all this time waiting for this? You can email us too, sundial@wlrnnews.org. Veronica, coming back to you, let's look back on this timeline. Governor placed the shutdown on visitation back in March. Why? What was the justification for that? And this was one of the first things he shut down.
That's right. It was around mid-March, early March, when he said that because these are the most frail members of our communities, the ones most susceptible to a coronavirus infection, that he would sign an order closing doors to the public as they were trying to manage what they would see as a very big spread of the virus and the disease within these facilities.
What is the shutdown done though to these facilities, and how have they reacted? Because again, as I mentioned, this population is still the hardest hit anyway.
Yeah, the numbers have been really alarming. At one point in the pandemic, more than half of the deaths that we had in Florida were coming from these facilities. That is no longer the case. It's gone down. And in fact, today I checked the numbers of staff and residents who have tested positive, and it's beneath 4,000. And at one peak in this month, in fact, in August, it was up to 6,000. It's gone down.
And one of the hardest things, though, is, and you're the health reporter, but one of the hardest things is they're not always talking. It's hard to get information.
Absolutely. Because I've done a lot of reporting on the facilities that have agreed to take in COVID positive patients from hospitals, those nursing homes have been very guarded with what they say. So I might get a statement about how they are working with the agency in Florida that oversees nursing homes in terms of safeguarding the residents, but there are no specifics. And the Agency for Healthcare Administration, which oversees nursing homes, is also very guarded in what they say. So we don't really know how much is being done at this point, you know, in terms of oversight.
The other thing too to mention is that the Florida Department of Health now has a new ombudsman. What's the role of this person? What are they doing?
This person is there to advocate for the residents. His name is Michael Phillips, and he fills a position that was left open for about 10 months. An ombudsman for long-term care facilities is mandated by federal law. And so he's back in with a team of about 300 volunteers. He always needs more volunteers. He's asked me to spread that message, who will listen to phone calls coming in and understand what the complaint is. And then they build relationships with agencies that oversee the problems and then try to address them and fix them.
And by the way, I have to correct myself. I said Florida Department of Health. It's Florida Department of Elder Affairs that has hired this ombudsman. Joan, you told me that you feel confident, but you feel good that they've done everything they can at the five-star premier residences of Hollywood to take care of your mother. But, you know, again, the interesting part about this is that you're a nurse. So you're going to see things and understand things the rest of us will not. But, you know, do you feel that they've been transparent with you, that they've done everything they could and you've been well informed about what's been going on with your mom?
Well, in the beginning, they were slow to email us, but they started emailing the families just about daily and updating us on staff that were infected and what they were doing, or residents that were infected and what they were doing. And they now all the staff get tested every 2 weeks. They send us an email telling us that, and then they tell us the total population that was tested, how many came back positive, and what they've done. They have kept the coronavirus from spreading in that facility. They've had four deaths since March, and a handful of staff that have had become infected, but no deaths of staff. The little bit that I can see when I go there to visit mom through the glass, I see that the staff are wearing masks. I see that they're using gloves. I see my mother well taken care of. But, you know, it's important for families to go because we add that oversight, of course, looking at seeing what's happening in a facility. And because I'm a nurse, I'm going to be looking for those things. I'm going to be looking to see how she's being taken care of. But I have to say, Five Star has been wonderful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think I've mentioned before as well that my mother was a caregiver for her parents and spent a lot of time at their nursing home and was watching for every little detail to make sure that everything was done right. Renee, interesting thing about communication. What was the challenge when, you know, we go into this shutdown, no visitors, you know, the pandemic starts to take off? How much more challenging was that for you in staying in touch with families, you know, and making sure you're communicating? Were you transparent in what was going on?
Yeah, we've tried really hard to be as transparent as possible. I will tell you, especially in the beginning, as you mentioned, between the emergency orders that were coming out very frequently, the calls with the Department of Health, the calls with Florida Healthcare and ACA, it just felt like things were coming so quickly. But we did put in practices right away so that in our care center, they were we had a group of staff that would make sure that they would connect with each resident and use the iPad to contact the family. So that way they could connect, but the most importantly, the resident could connect. So that was something we implemented really quickly, as well as just sending out weekly updates, as Joan had mentioned, just to say, okay, what are we doing as far as precautions? What are we learning along the way? What are we enhancing so that we can, based off, again, what we've learned, be able to make a safer environment? Within independent living, we also, in addition to emails and letters that we would put in their mailboxes, we also started doing videos, and we started holding Zoom town halls so that our residents could ask their questions, and we could make sure that we were providing the information that they were looking for. And what we found along the way is really our residents have in so many ways helped us as well through this process, because the encouragement and the support has been phenomenal. So I feel like it's been, you know, the collaboration of all involved that's helped us through this pandemic.
We have been hearing from our listeners via email. And again, you can email us sundial@wlrnnews.org. Shoban emailed us, says, I took my mom out of assisted living when this started. Now, 5 months later, I can't imagine how she would be. I also have an elderly friend who has no family, and I dread going in his room when this is all over. He has memory issues and wound up with pressure sores behind his ears because he didn't realize the masks were to come off when staff left his room. These are the little things that can happen. Joan, before we finish up here and let you go, again, you, as you mentioned, you're still waiting to hear back from the facility where your mother is from, but I'd imagine that you've been waiting for this opportunity. You're going to get the chance to see her. You know, just tell me what's going on right now for you and you know, how you're going to spend this time with her.
I'm overwhelmed. I'm going to cry when I see her, obviously. And I can't wait. I want to be, as soon as they allow it, I want to go. And I plan to just be with her the way I was before. I used to visit her daily. I will still continue to do that if allowed, if that's what, you know, their schedule will allow. I'll go by appointment if they want me to. And, you know, I'll do everything they want, even take rapid tests so I could prove that I don't have COVID. And I would like to hold her hand. I'd like to sing with her, although she stopped singing, but she and I used to sing. So, you know, maybe I could do that and just show her family pictures and do the things I used to do with her to keep her stimulated, because I think she's had a whole lack of stimulation this time. I mean, I know the staff there is trying to stimulate them, but anyway, it will be good to see her again.
No, definitely. Joan, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
And the best to you and to your mom. Again, speaking with Joan Hippler, registered nurse, and we are going to take a quick break. Veronica Zaragovia and Renee, stick with us, Renee Garvin. We're going to come back to you in a little bit, but when we come back, we're going to talk to a couple seniors who live at the Via Aventura who've been combating social isolation, and they're doing it with virtual performances.
One another, and we'll do it all together. We can beat this COVID-19. Yes, we'll beat this COVID-19, and we'll beat it all together. Wear a mask. Wear a mask. Oh, yes, wear a mask. Because we'll beat this
COVID-19. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, the pandemic has put an incredible strain on us all and our families, but it's also brought out the best in people. Just look at the folks at Via Aventura Retirement Living Community. Peter and Veronica Fuchs have created a Facebook show that they host every day, and they have quite a following. They're using stories and music to bring people together in these challenging times. Let's listen to a little bit of their act.
I have to be truthful. Every time we do this, after it's over, I feel like, wow. I feel so good. I feel like I could run around the block in reality, but I guess virtually I could run around the block. Imagine myself running. But I just love this. So we're getting through this. Believe it or not, all of us are getting through this.
We are getting through this one way or another. We're spending this hour talking about life in senior living facilities. Again, the governor has reopened these facilities to family members in order to visit their loved ones. There are limitations. There are rules. We still have to be safe. But people are now slowly being allowed to get back in to see their family members after all these months. I want to welcome now Peter and Veronica Fuchs. Peter, Veronica, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
Great. Wonderful. Thank you for having us here.
You know what? I got to ask you guys, how have you been doing during this time, all these months with this pandemic? You know, how are you handling it?
Great. I feel wonderful. I guess when it first started, and Peter and I decided, I didn't really know how to use the phone yet, but my son was doing this in California. So he said, oh, Mom, you could do something with Dad. All you have to do is find the little live eye. And I said, okay, but I kept looking and I couldn't figure it out. He finally told me. And then I was excited that I could do it. So then Peter said, well, I'll play the piano. We'll see what happened. And next thing I know, this is what happened.
We've been doing this for years in our regular home. Excuse me. We've always had parties. We've always had music in our home. Had two grand pianos in the old home, and just that was our way of life. And so we just continue this. It's a hangout with Veronica and Peter. We call it Stump the Maestro. So they text in, and to Veronica who takes the text, and I sit there, play the piano, and then they have the. They want to know a certain song. If I can play it, I can play it. If not, I have to apologize and say, you stumped me. And I go,
Peter, you're a musician. You know, the other thing interesting about you, too, is you're a Holocaust survivor. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. I spent my youth in Europe as a Holocaust survivor, and I came as soon as I could possibly can to the United States to leave that behind me.
I have to ask you, Peter, because you have this rare insight in life that the rest of us don't have. And I just wondered your thoughts. Everything you see this country and the world going through now, you know, what would you tell people, the advice you'd give them about, you know, how we should be handling this?
Well, we should be handling it according to the golden rule. Don't do to others what you don't want done to yourself. And try to have a positive attitude towards life, and try to enjoy every day, because it's a gift. Every day we live, it's a gift, and make the best of it. That's as simple as my simple. Otherwise, the rest I say in music.
Well, this is actually a little bit like what happened in Europe. He said when they couldn't go out and they couldn't, you know, communicate with everybody out there. So it's a kind of a similar thing. This is the invisible enemy, but there was a real enemy in those days. So it's kind of similar.
She's right. She's right. I, for the first time since I left Europe and left that whole life behind me, is for the first time I felt like we're in a warlike situation. I feel it's that serious. And, you know, because it stopped everything. It stopped life in America, the way we, and the world as we know it.
Yeah. And here you are using music and entertainment to help us get through it. I want to get a sense of, you know, when you guys put a show together, you know, what do you think? First of all, what kind of conversations are you having? Like, what are you getting ready for today? What are you going to do today?
We kind of wing it, believe it or not, and we don't make great preparations. We've been both in show business. Veronica was a actress, singer on Broadway, and I was a musical director before coming to Florida. And we've been in show business our whole life long. So appearing in front of people and doing things of that nature we're used to it, so it doesn't frighten us, and we know that even if we make mistakes, people don't
forgiving.
Not only forgiving, they forget it. You know, some of them don't even get it. So you know,
Veronica. The interesting thing too is, I mean, you've got a pretty big audience now, and children enjoy watching.
That's a different one, but that's two different things.
I see.
For years, I wanted to do this, but it was called Grandmother Goose.
That's right.
You know, and do the songs of yesteryear from the grandmothers, Mother Goose. And so I said, since I now was at mother level, I figure I'm grandmother. So I named it Grandmother Goose. And right from the start, I had some people watching. Now, whether they had their children with them, some of them did. They said, I've got Johnny here. And one of the others said, one of the pianist friends that we know, she had Veronica, another Veronica, and Victoria. So I could actually talk to them. And after a couple days of thinking how to do this, I decided maybe I put a little puppet in there. So I rigged up a costume for Mrs. Fox. I put long hair because I said that COVID is really wearing on her. And her fur grew so long. So she was showing how she went to the beauty shop. It got it all curled up. Now the beauty shop said they could cut it if she wants it. But you know, we heard the complaints here from the ladies that their hair kept growing longer and longer. So I thought, why not Mrs. Fox and the Grandmother Goose has long fur now. So just all kinds of things. I've got three little puppets now. So I'm happy. I'm working with all of them. So
again,
I'm in awe of this.
With different voices.
That is so fantastic. Again, I'm talking with Peter and Veronica Fuchs. They live at the Via Aventura. Again, as we mentioned, we've been mentioning that Governor DeSantis has released the new guidelines for long-term care facilities to reopen their doors to visitors because no visitors were allowed for all these months. And again, we are streaming live right now on our Sundial Facebook page, and we want to hear from you. You can post your comments or questions there. You can always email us to sundial@wlrnnews.org. Peter and Veronica, what's it been like for you? I mean, you get to go out a little bit. You're not trapped in the house all day, but you do have limitations. What has that been like for you? How did you adapt?
Well, once every Friday we go down and we've been taking our breakfast and having it outside. And we had a friend that met us and sat like 6 or 8, even further away, like 10 feet away. And we just communicate a little bit. But now, once in a while I went out to get to the doctor and came right back. And twice now we just got into the car to take a ride and we stopped by our daughter's house and we don't get out. We just wear a mask and they have their mask. They come out and stand so their sad. Distance.
That's so sad to
it's
me.
Really we have sad.
To, you know, but we're lucky at least we can get out. When I hear what that nurse, the lady said, my heart bleeds for her.
Yes,
that she can't get to her mother. I you know, at least we can get out and speak to our daughter through the mask.
Yeah.
Wear a mask.
Right. Well, our grandchildren were going off to college also. And we're used to, whenever we see everybody, we're big huggers and lovers. And, you know, now I have to say, well, have a good time. And I feel like I want to give them a hug goodbye.
Yeah.
It's just not there. You can't do that.
I don't know. I have no idea where this is going. Days of giving people hugs and kisses and so on, that has also become so strange. I'm very sorry.
What the V did right from the very start, I remember it was just over a weekend it all happened. It was coming at us, and I think it was the very next day, like on a Monday, we got notices in the mail from the V. And also, you know, they were telling us, that's it. You know, you can't go out. Please don't go out. Please don't. And wear a mask. Well, to get people to wear a mask early on, people didn't have a mask yet. So they were struggling to buy one. That's really something.
You know, we're a lot more fortunate than a lot of people. We have this music that we can keep ourselves busy with. And it's also nice to know that there's still people that like the songs that I know how to play. You know, I mean, I'm not a rock and roller. I'd be totally out of sync with everything, but there's a large audience of people still of the kind of music that we used to know in the 50s, you know, the American songbook type of the Broadway tunes. And
well, Peter, this kind
of, people are still like that. There are still people, so we are... You know, we didn't have to retire.
Well, you know what, Peter? I mean, you made a song. I think we played a little bit about it. You've been making songs about this, and you made a song about wearing masks.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's you know, I kind of feel very strongly about it. You know, I feel that if everybody would just help along, and as it says in the song, let's think of each other and do it all together. Then maybe we'll get through this a lot better than we are.
Yeah. And so, you know, one other thing too, I wanted to ask you is, I mean, you do have the chance to communicate with family a lot more. But what about some of the other folks, your other friends and neighbors there, you know, who are struggling with this, you know, like, what do you talk to them about? How do you help them?
Well, we don't, first of all, it's, we don't talk to them as much as we used to.
Yeah.
You know, the V here is a wonderful place, and as much as it, when we came here, we could sit together and have dinner, pleasant dinner together and constantly with different people. They encourage that here. So you got to know a lot of people, and you got to find out a lot about people and their lives. But now, it's kind of difficult. We walk past each other with the 6 feet apart and with you know, with a mask on, and it stifles the contact, unfortunately.
Do you guys feel safe there at the V? Do you feel safe?
Oh, we are so lucky. We really, I want to remind people all the time here that, that how good we have it here.
Yeah. So as I said, you guys have you have a show that you have to get ready for. I'm going to let you go here because you got to prepare. But you know, as you said, you like to just wing it, right?
Well, we do a little preparation. The beginning of the show, I have a segment where I try to stump the audience. So I have to prepare for that. I have to prepare for the four or five songs that I ask them to identify. And then I have to, you know, give Veronica the names of the songs, so she knows what I'm playing.
And so I give a hoot and a holler when they get it. So they have to first. Now we've got so many that are so smart, we call it the little fillies at the racetrack. They get to the finish line first. You know, they want to hear their name. So it's cute. It's a lot of fun.
Octogenarians behaving like children. That's what we're doing.
We're having fun with them, and they're having fun.
You know, let me finish with this because Peter gave me a great piece of advice here a moment ago. Veronica, you know, we had that tape of you on your show, and you know, you were saying, "We're getting through this. We're going to get through this." And I wondered what you would say to people who are listening right now. It's a tough year, you know, and not only that, I mean, we have an election coming up, and it seems like we're all just fighting with each other. But what advice do you give us to, you know, to just be good to each other?
Find something you like to do. Let's say if you wanted to write your memoirs, sit down and just every day do a little bit, have some fun with yourself. That's it. So we're having fun together, but we're also having fun with the audience. And that's what I keep thinking.
I'd say hang in there. Do the best with every day. You know, vote your conscience.
Okay, here's the difference too. A lot of the people that are on there are senior citizens that live by themselves. The husbands have died or the wives have died. And this is giving them something for an hour. They look up the songs now. They actually look them up, the ones that they want to stump him with. You know, how can they stump the maestro here? You know, and hear that little ba, 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 you know.
My advice is wear a mask.
There you go, put on the mask. Put on the mask. Peter, Veronica, it's been such a pleasure. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you guys have. I'm going to tell you right now, you have your show coming up at 2, so check it out on Facebook. You got to check these guys out. They're really great. Thanks again. Well, we've been hearing from people again on through email and also on Facebook. We heard from one of our listeners, Bernadette Fritsch. She wrote us and said that her brother is in a living in a care center in Tampa. She says, "I have not seen him since February of 2020. I've not heard one word about testing or anything. I drop by a package every week. My brother and I used to go out and eat. He is my only living family member." Bernadette, I hope that you get the chance to see him. We've also heard, we've been continuing to hear from people on Facebook like Bambi Williams. "As a professional guardian in the state of Florida, I commend our governor for his swift actions. Hang in there." Bambi, thank you so much for the comments. Again, you can find us on Facebook right now. We are streaming live. You can post your comments or questions there. You can always email us, sundial@wlrnnews.org. So coming up next, how will elder care facilities remain safe while they allow the visitors to come in? We're going to find out more on that coming up next.
That's part of your day. On the road to Mandalay.
Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Florida nursing home residents haven't experienced a hug from their friends and family in almost 5 months, again, because of the pandemic. That's about to change. Again, Governor Ron DeSantis announced that he will sign an executive order allowing essential caregivers to visit long-term care residents. Some advocacy groups have criticized the governor for making this move now. They're also questioning why officials decided not to mandate COVID-19 testing for visitors. Now, the governor acknowledged that the move will increase the number of COVID-19 cases in these facilities, but he said the need for visitations could no longer be ignored. We're bringing back WLRN healthcare reporter Veronica Zaragovia and also Renee Garvin. She's the executive director of the retirement community V at Aventura. Again, find us on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook. We're streaming live. You can send your comments or questions there, or you can always email us sundial@WLRNnews.org. We did get another email from Christine Maldonado. She says, my mom is only 74 years old. She walked into her facility exactly 6 months ago to the day in perfect health. 1 week later, the facility was on lockdown. Today, she's in a wheelchair and diapers and has greatly declined both mentally and physically. My husband, son, and I are going to be extremely present in her life and intended on visiting her several times a week. This has been absolutely devastating for our family. Christine, I'm very sorry to hear that story. I'm sorry to hear of your situation. Renee, under the circumstances, will you begin allowing visitors back in soon? What do you have to do to allow people back in as soon as possible?
We are really focusing our efforts on education and making sure people understand why it's so important to do certain things. So again, we have a very strong screening process in place. We have two nurses that are set up in our garage every day just to make sure that everyone coming into our community is safe, as well as our security team. So that's a first. But then again, making sure that we're talking with each person in advance of the visit, and then when they actually come in, so that they understand not only that you wear a mask, but how to wear it. Oftentimes I'll see people with it tucked down below their nose, or maybe it's not, you know, secure around tight fitting. So just how important that is. And again, face shields, that's something that we believe in strongly here, the social distancing aspects. And I think we will continue to encourage folks to visit outside when able. Obviously, it's warm here in South Florida, so easier done in the morning or in the evening. But I think with just continuing to look at making sure people are as aware as possible, and doing all the right things, we're going to get through this. And I do agree it's the right thing to do.
Renee, are you worried, though, that there is no requirement for COVID-19 testing of visitors?
You know what? I think testing is really difficult. You know, if there was the ability to do a rapid test right at the time, maybe that would make sense. And if we get there, that would be great. But as we all know, I mean, we test our staff every 2 weeks. And, you know, you can go and get COVID the very next day, right? So I think it's really making sure that we have a combination of all these precautions in place. Because if you just testing alone, there's still false negatives and positives. So it really is the combination of the screening, the wearing the proper precautionary
PPE,
equipment.
Right. Yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you.
No,
PPE.
No, exactly.
and just making sure that even during those visits, as Peter Fuchs was saying, it can be a little awkward sometimes because you just want to reach out and hug each other, and it's hard not to do that right now. But I think at this point in time, it is important just to keep a little bit more distance and just take that extra measure to keep everyone safe.
Veronica, you know, what has the governor said about, because he did say that, look, this will mean more COVID cases are going to happen. But what did he say about, or what's the plan if all of a sudden we see an outbreak?
He spent a good portion of his press conference talking about how this is a positive change, even got choked up. It's the first time I had noticed him show emotion since the start of the pandemic. He couldn't speak for a short while. So he was focused mostly on the fact that this should, you know, this is moving forward. But that said, he did say that this is a point of motivation for facilities to be able to meet these standards so that they can let people in. And you know, what Renee was speaking about earlier with the two-week testing, that was mandated by the state, but even Governor DeSantis has said that anything over about 2 days of a return time doesn't really mean anything, because in that time, even in a short amount of time, you can get infected with the coronavirus. So they're looking at screening mostly with symptoms to let people in. And they're not requiring the facilities to provide the PPE. A lot of them are cash strapped or, you know, in financial difficulty. So That's a cause of concern to know, you know, to have disparities in masks, perhaps. One thing I'll point out is that he's requiring masks inside these facilities, but not a statewide mask mandate. So as people are coming in, they've been going around without having to wear a mask if their local government doesn't require that. So, you know, there are complications with this.
Yeah. Renee, one of the other things, too, that's interesting about the time we're living in is we're in the heart of hurricane season. And so, you know, we've seen this problem before when hurricanes hit, you know, but what other precautions on top of dealing with a pandemic have you set up at the V so that if a hurricane comes, you know, you've got that taken care of as well and people will be safe even then?
Mm-hmm. So, again, with us having a continuum care here at Via Aventura, it's a little bit different depending on if we're an independent living versus our care center. In independent living, if we needed to evacuate, we go to a hotel. So making sure that every resident has a private room, hotel room, making sure that, you know, the site that we go to, we looked at hotels that are closer. We would typically go to Orlando, but we in anticipation, identified some sites that are closer so that we could take more trips with our buses because we rent these large commercial buses to take all of our residents. So wanting to keep those social distancing aspects in place, even during an evacuation. So just really thinking about, you know, how do we manage under these conditions and still keep everyone safe? Obviously with a hurricane, we need to make sure that first and foremost, we are either evacuating or shelter in place and everything is good from that standpoint. But we also have to make sure we're minding those COVID aspects and so that people can still do the proper hand washing and keep in mind all the social distancing and PPE requirements. We actually do have a 30-day supply here at B. We made sure right away, and our corporate office has been incredible about supporting all of our efforts to make sure that if something happened, because as we all know with a hurricane, I mean, we could be in a situation where if we had a major storm, we could be sheltered in place or evacuated for quite some time. Really planning ahead that we have everything that we need.
Let me finish with this, Renee. You've been working in this field now for 2 decades, and I'm wondering how this pandemic compares to anything else you've ever experienced in your career. And what has this taught you about the resiliency of seniors in getting through these situations?
Well, as you can hear from just listening to Peter and Veronica, it has been difficult for so many people. You know, listening to Joan today, you know, it has been very emotional and difficult just because there has been so much information. It's trying to weed through what's right, what's not. You know, making sure that we're supporting everyone, making sure that everyone has what they need. So we've never experienced anything like this, and I don't know that we will in my lifetime. But we have really taken the approach to learn everything that we can. And as you can see from Peter and Veronica, you know, looking for the sources of inspiration, which have been our residents and staff. I can't tell you the moments that I've had over the last 6 months where I have been brought to tears, just because it's like the acts of kindness and the generosity that I've seen among our residents and staff, and just what our staff have come up with to, you know, make sure that all of our residents' birthdays are special, their anniversaries. We had a resident who was here in Independent, couldn't be with his wife on his 65th wedding anniversary because she lives in the care center. So we set up, you know, a special dinner where they could be, you know, next to the glass, and they had their screens, and we had a beautiful wedding dinner or anniversary dinner for them. And, you know, they were in tears, we were in tears. So it's just, you know, I could just go on and on. Yeah. It's just been, it's been incredible.
You're right.
You know, all the way around.
It is very difficult, very emotional. I'm truly grateful for all of you to be here today, especially with Peter and Veronica earlier. You know, with everything that we're going through in this world, they are a light that I truly appreciate. But I want to thank both of you. Renee Garvin, again, thank you for your time today. Veronica Zaragovia, thanks for joining us and for all the information.
Thank you, Lewis.
And please stay safe. And again, thank you to everyone who has participated in the program today. You can always, again, continue this conversation and share with us online on the Facebook page, Sundial at WLRN Sundial. You can always email us as well and tell us your story. That is our program for this Wednesday, September 2nd. Coming up tomorrow on the show, there's been a lot of discussion around the issue of herd immunity. What are the circumstances under which Florida could reach herd immunity, and are healthcare professionals preparing for the possibility? We're going to hear from WorkCare's Chief Innovation Officer and Medical Director, Dr. Anthony Harris, whose family is here in Florida. Plus, Governor Ron DeSantis has continued to extend the moratorium on evictions, but courts have already started the eviction process. We're going to look into that situation coming up tomorrow on the show. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks again for listening. As always, stay safe, be kind to each other. We'll talk to you again live tomorrow.